what do I know that is of value? And a really great thing with that is that you can ask the people closest to you, ask friends, like what would, ask them, be like, hey, what would you come to me for? What, like, if you knew that you needed an answer for something and you would come to me for that answer, what would that be? Because all too often, what we're kind of like an expert in or what we're really good at, we overlook it because it's right there in front of us. We take it for granted.
Welcome to the next episode of What's Next with Eric Wood. Our next guest is Sarah Dandishy. Sarah is an award-winning concierge, travel content creator, and hospitality consultant. She is an expert when it comes to travel, and as 2020 comes to a close, she was the person whose brain I wanted to pick in regards to how to travel and where we should travel in 2021. If you're anything like me and my family, you're looking to get out of the house in early 2021, but to do it as safe as possible, and Sarah is here to bring you that information. You will love hearing her story of living all over the world. You will be inspired to adventure into new experiences like I was after speaking with her. You will also learn about building a brand from Sarah, who has built powerful online content since pivoting at the start of the pandemic when she was furloughed from her main job as a hotel concierge. Thank you for tuning into this podcast once again. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. If you haven't done it already, scroll down to the bottom of the episode list, hit 5 stars if you like it, 1 if you don't, and leave a comment. That will help spread the impact I hope to make through this podcast. Enjoy. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got connected. What an awesome time to have a travel expert on the show. And why don't you start off first by telling the listeners about how you got started and how you became this travel expert?
Yeah, no, definitely. So my background is actually in hotels. And I started in hotels while I was going to college in DC. I was going to Georgetown and I was doing the whole like international relations thing. And my cousin was working at the Four Seasons there. And he was like, why work at like the local restaurant when you can come and work at the Four Seasons? And so I'm like, okay, cool. So I kind of got my little entry into, or my first exposure into hotels while I was in Washington, DC. And then when I ultimately moved out to Los Angeles, I was like, you know, hotels kind of seem like a good fit. Let me just see what, if I can continue on in that. And I got very lucky because I had applied as like kind of like a bartender. That was what my young experience had given me at that point. But the general manager at the time was like, hey, I think you'd make a great concierge. And I'm like, now keep in mind, I had traveled quite a bit. So despite my blonde hair and blue eyes, I'm actually half Lebanese. So half of my family lives in the Middle East and Europe. So I grew up traveling quite a bit. Most of my childhood, I actually lived in Saudi Arabia. I lived in London. I lived in Atlanta. I've lived like all over. So it wasn't foreign to me, but I was, you know, at that point I was like 23 years old. I'm like, you want me to like handle like these people in Beverly Hills? We're talking about private planes, Maseratis, like all of that. And he was like, yeah, I think you could handle it. And I'm like, I'm good with maps. And I'm like, really? Like, that's like my, I carried a watermelon story, you know, from Dirty Dancing. I was like, oh, I'm good with maps. And he's like, you're fine. You can get the job. So I started in hotels that way. And so I basically worked in hotels for about 20 years or just about, and a little bit less than that. And, but in the meantime, I had also been creating a travel brand. And so I started doing travel videos, and that's how I kind of brought my sort of day-to-day expertise as far as what I was doing in the day job to basically social media. And I realized that it wasn't just necessarily covering what to eat, see, and do in Los Angeles, but like understanding travel trends and like what consumers do, and even on a global scale as well too. And so I started implementing more of that, and next thing you know, that leads to one thing to the next. Then you're on this TV show talking about these trends and that. And it's like, all right, well, this is a thing. So it's been an interesting journey, but it's been such a great journey.
Speaking of appearing on TV shows, it's my understanding that you originally moved to LA to be an actress.
Oh, yes.
Are you pulled in that direction at all anymore?
Not as much. I mean, I'm very lucky that I still do have an agent, but I like to call myself a high maintenance client. High maintenance in the sense that, because I'm really not at all, but high maintenance in the sense that it's like, look, if it really makes sense for me, because now that I've established enough of a social media following, enough of a brand that, you know, depending on what it is, it just might not make sense for me. So it's like, I don't need to go out for a cattle call, but if it's something that like, okay, this is you to a T, sure. So I mean, you can't really, I feel like nobody can live in LA without having an agent, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I would say that's factual. And I would say most of the waiters and waitresses, hotel workers, they all have agents too. And that's what they're doing to get by mm-hmm. until they get their big break. I've had buddies go that route. The travel industry is one of the industries most affected by COVID. How has it affected you personally? And what are you seeing in the travel industry right now?
Wow. So that's a great question. So to give people like try and be as concise as possible. So prior to this, I had been traveling quite a bit. You know, my brand had grown. And like last year, for example, I'd done like 35 different destinations. Wow. So that's more than just like little mini trips, but like actual destinations, and which was amazing. And because I am a little bit of a workaholic, but it was also as you build your own brand and you have like, at some point, you know, people have a day job and they build their brand. And at what point do you take the leap of faith to really commit to what you're doing? And so I had gotten to the point where I really didn't need to work at a hotel anymore, but I was still there 1-2 days a week. I was also trying to figure out how do we navigate what, you know, my brand, which is Ask a Concierge, once I actually leave a hotel, is it still authentic? You look at like doctors, just because they might not be practicing, are they still a doctor? You know, you go through all of this. And so I technically was still at a hotel at the beginning of this year. So I got furloughed. And then as far as so that was that as far as like the day job side of things, but then my actual, you know, my business, which was creating travel content, all of us and speaking at events. I had an event in India that got canceled that I was supposed to speak at. I was supposed to speak in Italy that got canceled. And, you know, I had a road trip planned to like film all around, like, you know, the Southwest that got canceled. And it's like, great. Okay. Wow. How do we like navigate this? And so at that time, you know, I was seeing a lot of social media, and obviously a lot of what I do is on social media, and there was so much complaining, or there was also a lot of fear. And I don't play into fear mongering. I'm like, educate yourself and be smart and let's be strategic. Right. You know, like it is what it is. Like the cards are dealt. Like why sit here and panic? Because nobody makes a good decision from a place of panic, you know? So I sat, and then also everybody's like, oh, I can't wait to travel again. And I didn't know it would last this long, but I was like, that line is going to get really old, really quick. Everybody like whining about it, I miss travel. So I'm like, okay, how can we be constructive? And I looked at the landscape, and aside from one other person who he happens to be a travel editor on a big time on CBS. So it's like, that is what he does. He speaks on news stations. Nobody else was really covering travel updates. They were doing everything else. And certainly no female was doing it. So I'm like, well, I'll just kind of collect the data and do it in a way to educate people so that they, again, there wasn't this fear. Because at that point, and as we're seeing now, it's, again, numbers, this many COVID cases, this. And I understand the news has to do what the news has to do. But at the same time, I wanted to share some information to just give people like something solid to hold on to. And it's like, okay, this might not be great now, but this is what we can look to in the future, or this is what's happening in this country. So again, it's coming from a place of like educating people and so that they can kind of help plan ahead. So that was sort of like my personal journey with it. And then since then, it has evolved into so many great things. So I'm so glad that I made that pivot, because it's afforded me a lot of opportunities where I didn't know if I would have necessarily had them. And by the way, all those opportunities. So by the way, if anybody's like an entrepreneur listening to this, I created all of those opportunities from my living room with my laptop, Wi-Fi, and 2 lights. Like, wow, how cool. Obviously hard work with that as well too. But industry as a whole, and I know I'm talking a lot on this, but I wanted
to
guest.
This is why you're on to talk. People are tired of hearing me talk.
No, but the industry as a whole, you know, you're right. It's been devastating. I mean, we're talking about, I just was on a show this morning, and for example, just look at hotels, just in general. They are down, their employment rate is down 46% from the start of the year. And that's how many months later? 9 months later? 10, something like that. That's devastating. And then to give people a bigger idea, so the travel and hospitality business takes up about a tenth of, you know, our global economy. So one in every 10 jobs is a travel or hospitality job. Wow. So when you think about that, it's something like 50 million jobs. I mean, people are losing, it's a big impact. So it's not only a big impact as far as like revenue and businesses, it's a big impact on livelihood. You basically are having people that are maybe career people and they're displaced. What do they do? Not everybody can just be like, oh, I'll go work for Amazon because they're hiring now, you know, or whatever it is. So it's been challenging, but I have to say, you know, it's also led a lot of us to kind of grow in so many ways. And depending on where you are, you know, whether you are a hospitality business owner or whether you're an employee, you know, people are growing in different ways. And so it really is kind of a game of how do you stay afloat? If you can thrive, more power to you. But how do you stay afloat until we get to the other side? Because there will be another side. In fact, there's going to be a boom. There's going to be a renaissance, so to speak. And we'll talk about, for travelers, what they need to keep in mind for that. But yeah, you know, so it's been challenging for sure, but there's also been room for so many relationships to be cultivated and just looking at different things. And again, we are just learning to appreciate the things that we had that we maybe glazed over before. So challenging, but you know, I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
So much gold in there, Sarah. I love the way you talked about pivoting. And so many people in this year have been forced to pivot. I've had to as well. I'm in broadcasting. This whole industry's flipped upside down. I've called games and stadiums with people that are across the country on it. We're on a 2-second delay. So I'm in the stadium and I see something 2 seconds before they see it. And we're trying to call a game together. You know, every industry is being forced to pivot. And I love the way you pivoted and didn't get in a woe is me space. And I'm sensitive to the people with mental health issues, and that's serious out there. And not everyone can control that, but I love the way you talked about it. And you talked about building your brand and building this online platform that now has almost 200,000 followers already. You have your podcast, Say Yes to Travel. You have your website, askaconcierge.tv. So you have all these things going and you put in all this work. You have countless hundreds of videos online. Can you talk to a guy like me who's a former athlete trying to get in this world of podcasting and speaking and whatnot about building a brand and recommendations you have?
Yeah. I do want to touch on one thing that you did say, because I think it is really important, and you did touch on mental health and all of that. And that is important in this time, because as much as we do talk about, you know, the successes or making lemonade out of lemons, all of this, it's not to say that there weren't tough times. Absolutely there were. But it's like, I gave myself that moment to have those feelings, totally legitimate to have those feelings. And then I got to the certain point that I was like, okay, well, I can either sit here in this, or I can really find my purpose again and be constructive. And so that was really, that was so important to me. And once I found a way that I could give back, it gave me this sense of purpose. And then I was like, okay, let's do this. Let's pump out content. Let's like help people, give them, you know, whether it's being inspiring, whether it's, you know, providing knowledge, whatever that was, that's really kind of what got me through those moments.
There's no way to imagine this pandemic is coming. And I also loved your point earlier about there is going to be a boom after this. And I say this all the time, what followed the last pandemic in 1918 was the Roaring Twenties. Now, that was the automobile industry, that was telephone, media. This one is not going to be the same. Now, it might be electric cars, who knows? But it's going to be something. And if you're pivoting during this time and growing as a person, you're going to set yourself up to capitalize on that. But you yourself, during this extremely tough time, as you pivoted, you built this incredible brand. Mm-hmm. Can you give some insight on building a brand?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, a lot of it, it's all about strategizing and leverage and being like just really honest with yourself as far as like, what are you bringing to the table? And I think you certainly with your background as far as being an athlete, that you can really understand this because there is so much of a mental component to it. So it's like, it's not just like throwing stuff out there willy-nilly. It's like, okay, well, how can I make a difference? And so like, how can I tap into what makes me unique? What are my strengths? And I know that can be difficult sometimes for people. You know, it's one thing if you know what your physical strengths are or like your talents, but sometimes you're like, what do I know that is of value? And a really great thing with that is that you can ask the people closest to you, ask friends, like ask them, be like, hey, what would you come to me for? If you knew that you needed an answer for something and you would come to me for that answer, what would that be? Because all too often, what we're kind of like an expert in or what we're really good at, we overlook it because it's right there in front of us. We take it for granted. So, you know, this is such a great time to kind of like look inward and figure out what that is and then double down on where you are different. So for me in the travel space, like on Instagram and in social media, dare I even say travel influencer space, it wasn't just about, oh, you know, a girl in a pretty photo. By the way, those are totally fine. And if it gets eyeballs on things, sure. But I had such a professional background and I wanted to follow up maybe a pretty photo with some value and some knowledge and some substance. So, and then similarly, I also then really doubled down on LinkedIn, which I've really enjoyed this past year, because again, in this space that it's like, that I had been creating content in, all of a sudden I'm having the direct conversations with the CEOs of the company, with the general managers, with these people, and it becomes a far higher level conversation. And then for there, my leverage in that was, I wasn't just like a hotelier. I was like, oh, I was a hotelier with all of this social media experience, with all of these videos. So again, when you're kind of building that brand, you just really want to hone in on where you're unique and then just leverage the heck out of it. And just be smart and understand what the different platforms are for. You know, there's certain things that I'm not going to post on LinkedIn. I'm not going to post like me dancing, like on LinkedIn. That's what other platforms are for.
Right.
And then similarly, there are sometimes like I'll ask like a really like thoughtful question and I might try to share it on Instagram and people are like, no, that requires too much thinking. It's like, okay, noted, not for you. So, and it also is just understanding your audience, you know? So again, my play on LinkedIn is more of like the B2B play. Whereas on, you know, Instagram, it's going to be more B2C. So customers like travelers, consumers in that regard. So you really have to tackle it like it's a business, because if you're smart and if you provide value and if you're consistent, it's amazing what will come back to you. So, I mean, there's so many different nuances to it, but I hope that kind of gives like a couple of pillars that people can kind of connect with.
That was absolutely excellent. I loved your point on asking others for what you're unique. I did a speaking engagement for a company recently, and one of their executives who I know that hired me, I said, well, what would you like me to speak on? And he told me, and then we had a conversation and stuff just started coming up, and he would say, no, I want you to go this way. I want you to talk about being a captain in the NFL, because that makes you unique to all these people. Like, they know about business, they know about morning routines, they know about all the stuff that you're trying to preach, but like, they've never been in an NFL locker room. Take them in there, because I bet it's not that different from their individual branches or whatever it may be. So I love your point on that, and so much value there. When you were talking about not putting a video of you dancing on LinkedIn, it reminds me of the memes that people will create of themselves. It's like, this is me on Twitter, this is me on Facebook, this is me on LinkedIn, this is me on Instagram. And it's so true. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a deceptive thing.
No. But
originally when I did social media, Twitter was like my fan interaction, and I actually kept my Instagram private, and okay. that was family stuff. And I just wanted to see buddies, kids, and all that, and keep up with people. Well, that was really dumb for me getting in the podcast world, because while I was an NFL player, I had a private Instagram account, and then I opened it up afterwards when I'm irrelevant. So not the smartest move, but it's all good.
But it's understandable. And that's the whole thing. But you do bring up actually a really good point with that, because I do understand that everybody has different comfort levels when it comes to social media. And it doesn't, you don't have to be famous. You can just be anybody, and people have different comfort levels. And it's actually really smart, because you can work at whatever your day job is. You work at a bank, you work at a tech company, it doesn't matter. You do want to be mindful as far as what you share, because, you know, let's say somebody calls out sick, and then do you really want to be sharing photos of you like out drinking with your buddies or whatever the case is? So you bring up a good point. I mean, I'm bringing it down to very simplistic terms, but it's understanding who you connect with and then what you share. And again, you can always just have two accounts, you know, and that's where it's like you have something that's far more public, and it's more of a curated way that you want people to view you or what is more appropriate. And then you have something that might be more for your more immediate friends and family. But there are different ways that you can play on social media, and that you can create, you get to choose your own adventure. You get to create what you want it to be. So don't beat yourself up over it. Lots of people going to be following.
I appreciate it.
I'm excited to tell you about a product that I've been absolutely loving lately, and that's the Uller from ChiliPad. It is a temperature-controlled mat that goes under your sheets on your bed and controls your body temperature throughout the night. I originally heard this product endorsed by Tim Ferriss, Tony Robbins, David Nurse, and others, and I knew I had to give it a try. Maximizing the amount of deep sleep you get in a night is so important, especially when it's not possible at times to get a full 7 or 8 hours. ChiliPad puts you at the perfect temperature all night to promote deep sleep. When you get enough deep sleep, your learning capability is higher, your memory is stronger, you're prepared to take on your toughest workouts. In other words, you're in peak physical and mental shape after a night of true recovery. That's why finding a way to get more deep sleep is always at the top of my priority list. I will attach a link to purchase the ChiliPad in the show notes and use code ERIC22 at checkout to get 22% off your order. I personally use the Uller and I love it. This episode is also brought to you by Punched Energy Chews, and these have become a favorite product of mine for energy and fitness. They use a patented formula with tons of scientific studies, and they start with pure green Arabica coffee bean caffeine. It improves your physical and mental performance, increases your metabolism, helps burn calories and body fat, and they also help boost your immunity, which is very important at this time because they're a great source of vitamin C. They're also ultra low glycemic, no spikes, no bounces, and no crashes. What you're going to do is go to punchedenergy.com, use code ERICWOOD20 for 20% off. Give them a try. Link in the show notes.
So you talked about living all over the world in the past year, or in 2019, 35 different destinations. Yeah. What's been your top travel experience?
Ooh, okay. So I kind of had last September, so September of 2019 was a whirlwind for me. I went from I had a cousin of mine got married in Rome. So then I was like, cool, I'll go like do something in Malta first. By the way, Malta, amazing. Everybody should put that on their list, because we get it, the Amalfi Coast. Italy's beautiful, but go off the beaten path and do Malta. It's phenomenal. So I did like this crazy, it was like within a span of like 2 weeks, I flew from LA to Malta to Rome, back to LA, then to Thailand, Indonesia, Indonesia and Malaysia.
Wow.
And then back. And it was one of those moments. I came back and I was tired. I was tired when I came back, but I also remember being like, wow, that's like really living. And peppered into that, there were some not great moments that happened. They weren't like there were many beautiful moments, but there was like, for example, I ended up fainting in a church in Malta because of exhaustion, and then waking up to these like priests over me, "Senora, Senora," and I'm like, "I'm good. Just give me water. Get me out of here. We're good." To like even some interesting instances that happened when I was in Indonesia. So when I say that, it wasn't all roses, but it was life, and it was those moments that you're like, I had this moment that I'm like, I could have been like behind a desk the past 3 weeks and done the same thing, do my workout, do the whatever, which is fine. I was like, but now I was out there like interacting with different cultures, like trying different foods, like, and even if it's something that was like, okay, note to self, somebody definitely needs to stay hydrated when they're traveling internationally, whatever it is. It was all a learning experience. So that whole month was really sort of fascinating for me. And it was really, it gave me this sense of just, we live in such a small world and we're so interconnected. And I think that's also one of my favorite things about travel. It's that human connection, you know, that what it really kind of boils down to. So hard to say if I would even have like a favorite destination, but there's always a lot to learn when you're on the road.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about perspective you've gained, and you answered it at the end, that human connection. Is there any other different perspectives that you've gained? The people that I know that have traveled the most, one thing that they get is just this different perspective than most of, man, this world is so big. Sometimes our issues are, we think they're a lot bigger than they are once you get outside of our bubble of your community, your country even.
Yeah. Oh, definitely your neighborhood. And that is such a big thing. And it's interesting because, so even like culturally speaking, so I was born in the States. I'm American. Okay. Yes. But like right as soon after I was born, as soon as my parents got me a passport, I lived in Saudi Arabia until I was 6. And then my parents separated. And then I lived in London, England until I was like 8. And then I moved to Atlanta. And in all of that, it was so interesting because I was American, but as a kid, like I was American because I was told American, not because I had grown up that way necessarily. So it was this really interesting dichotomy of being like, I am American, even though I've never lived really in America, but then how do you, and then imagine as a child navigating that. So I definitely had some moments when I was younger that were pretty, now looking back, obviously at the time I wasn't like, oh, I'm like Plato at 8 years old, but looking back, I appreciate it so much because I always have perspective, even from a young age, because for me, it's like, I grew up with people around the world. Like I was always living with people that were from different countries that spoke different languages. Like me trying to communicate with somebody that doesn't speak the same language is like, okay, let's see where we go with this. So that travel aspect, you know, again, it is that human element, but, you know, also, as you said, it's perspective, and it really is something. I mean, you think about it, that. I think that's also why people, they might not necessarily have tapped into it, but that's also why people like to go on vacation. What are they telling us? I want to unplug. I want to disconnect. Well, what's that doing? That's ultimately giving you perspective. You might be thinking about it as like laying on the beach, like with a margarita. Cool. That can give you perspective too. But right. It is, it's taking you out of your bubble, your routine, and just showing you a little bit of a different way of life. I even actually think about that with planes. I'm obsessed with sitting at the plane window. And why is that? It is an actual like representation of perspective. Like you're looking down, you're seeing the mountains, you're seeing the cities, like, and I just like, I was like, have this almost like zoom out effect that it's like, wow, isn't it crazy that we're all here like little ants just like doing our thing. And it's amazing how that just gives us a different way to approach life, especially, and it's all too easy, especially now as we're, you know, as we've been at home, we've got the news on, and we're having the same things being repeated to us, whether it's on TV, whether it's on social media, it's very easy to have that laser vision. But I think that's one of my biggest things about travel is that it opens you up.
Absolutely. I love sitting on the airplane window too. Half the time on takeoff, I'm like, I know some of the background on and some of how it all works, of how a plane gets off the ground. But this is still incredible to me that we're going to hop up in this huge piece of metal and then just being above the clouds. And I travel on planes a lot for work. Yeah. So I'm on planes all the time, and it never ceases to amaze me. And it does give you a perspective, and it always does me, like, man, this world is so much bigger than I give it credit for at times. And that's generally domestic travel, but
yeah.
Okay. So I have a few questions that I am personally interested in, and I would assume that many of the listeners would be interested as well. When traveling, do you recommend that people work with a travel agent or concierge? From people I know, we've generally worked with a travel agent, but I feel like most people would say, man, I can't afford that. But I think oftentimes you end up saving money, and I don't mean to steal your answer, but I would like to hear your thoughts.
No, that's so great. And it's very interesting. I think so often people have been trained to think, like, if you have a third person, like in the middle, like, oh gosh, it's going to cost way more. It's going to be this. And it's like, not necessarily, because what the benefits are is that they're going to be guiding you. So you basically have an expert, whether it's somebody that's helping you find the best flights. Also, like, for example, in the case of travel agents, they oftentimes have access to special rates and special fares, or even in booking hotels, it'll cost you the same as if you book direct, maybe. But then what they can do is they can book it as like a virtuoso package. And so all of a sudden you get maybe an early check-in, a late checkout, a $100 food and beverage credit, whatever it is, and just because they booked it for you. So a lot of times you'll see that it might cost the same, but by having them involved, you end up getting so much more. You get more bang for your buck. And then similarly, as far as like a concierge, I've always been obviously being a former concierge, always been a proponent of it, because when you have a local expert right there at your fingertips, why wouldn't you use them? And that, you know, and it's, you know, you have a conversation, and you, because I think sometimes so many people are scared, like, oh, they're just going to send me to tourist traps or this. And it's like, well, tell them you don't want to go to a touristy place. Be like, where's a local destination? I want to go to a local dive bar, or like, I want to do more of like a boutique store. I don't want to go to like all the big name stores that I can go do shopping anywhere. You give them that information and they'll totally let you know. And it's so much, it just enriches the experience so much more. So I always say, definitely, when you can have somebody help you, and that is their job, their job to do it, of course. So why, absolutely, definitely take advantage of it.
I'm glad you confirmed that for me. As you look at 2021 travel, do you foresee there being deals out there that normally wouldn't be out there?
Yeah, actually, so this is word on the street, fresh off the press. I honestly, if you can, if people are able to, buy now, okay? Because right now, there's still so much availability for, say, let's say like next summer, something like that, next summer, maybe even next fall. The most underrated change in travel that happened this past year has been the elimination of cancellation and change fees. We're talking about hotels, airlines, whatever. So if you can, if you have the funds and the capital that you can put towards booking a trip now, do it. Worst comes to worst, you cancel or you move it slightly. Because right now there's availability. And B, they've got the best options, whether it's holiday deals, all of that. Because what is the timeline that we're looking at? And I'll explain this, which will hopefully kind of explain why you want to kind of get ahead of the curve. Okay, so we've got this vaccine that's like rolling out. So realistically, if we look at the time, now, this is not to say the vaccine is a silver bullet, but it will definitely be helpful in many ways. So we have this vaccine rolling out. By the time it gets through all the, you know, the essential workers and then all those that are high risk and all of that, we're talking about the first quarter of next year. So between now, December, and then through till March. So then starts rolling out in the public about April, May, June. So by that time, probably by June, July, August, depending on every individual comfort levels and where people are with that, we're really going to see a boom. At this point, people are like, okay, I'm feeling a lot better about things. It's been a long time. I want to take my family somewhere. And so all of these places that, you know, the beautiful little hotel that's on the Amalfi Coast that has only 54 rooms, well, like, you're going to be competing with, you know, 10,000 other families that might want to get a room in that hotel, because everybody's like, hey, we want to do this now, because really, in all this time that people maybe have not been traveling, they are going to really want to make a point for their next big trip, their next trip to be a big trip and a special one. So I hope that explains. I would say definitely like buy now and just plan for the future. Worst comes to worst, you just, you know, cancel and move, but hopefully that doesn't happen.
That's excellent info. This is a hypothetical.
Okay.
Let's say that someone's been working on the road a bunch this fall and their wife is dying to get out of the house and travel. Hypothetical.
Wink.
In like January, February, one trip with kids, one trip without, where are the safest places to travel right now?
So in general, the places that have been doing pretty well have been warmer climates and resorts. So what I would even say, if you're even game for it, is to maybe even do like a family all-inclusive resort in Mexico. Because I know people are like, wait, what? What's going on with Mexico? And it's like, where the numbers are super high in Mexico are going to be more of like in the big cities. So not necessarily along the coast and the resort. So we're talking about like Cancun, Cabo, beautiful places. Why I also really like resorts is that it still has that all, like one-stop shop sort of thing. And I went there and I was so impressed with everything that they're doing and all the standards. That you feel just really, really safe. And they also have, you know, limits as far as occupancy limits. So I think now they might be up to 50%. It might be going down. But again, they're approaching it in a very different way. So if you're looking for something warm and tropical, I think that would be a great option. And if not Mexico, there are some places in the Caribbean as well too, you know, but resorts in some places warm and sunny is totally the way to go.
And to your point on the occupancy, throughout this fall traveling, I've never seen the airplanes cleaner. I've tried to fly exclusively Delta, because one time I was on a different airline, I won't name which one, and they sat me next to someone. You know, I take COVID tests weekly and, you know, nothing happened, but I still would rather sit by myself. And then hotels have never been cleaner. You go to the gym and there's no one else in there. I mean, it's been great. Now, I know it's terrible for the hotels because it limits their numbers and all of that, but it has been extremely clean, and that makes sense that the resorts would be great. I want to put you on the spot here. Let's say it's not COVID times.
Okay.
And me and my wife, a 5-year-old and an almost 3-year-old, are coming to LA for a 4-night trip. Where are you taking us? Where are you putting us?
Ooh, 4-night trip. Okay, so just all depend on whether you would want to have like your main base by the beach or in Beverly Hills. But with the kids, beach. I'd say by the beach.
Yep.
Definitely beach. So I would probably do Shutters on the Beach, because it's a beautiful property right there. You've got the Santa Monica Pier, Third Street Promenade, all that good stuff. Definitely you want to make sure that you rent a convertible, obviously, so then you can do like a little like drive up the PCH. And then, you know, some great things to do, certainly with the kids. I mean, you've got Universal Studios isn't too far away. And they have some like modified, activities there. You know, you could also do Disneyland, make a day trip out of Disneyland, because it's not too far away. Of course. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't? So you've got all of these great things to do. You guys can ride bikes along the beach, maybe even do a surf lesson for the kids if they haven't done that. They have really fun kid-friendly surf lessons that'll be like in baby waves, so it's nice and safe. there's so much to do. And then great shopping. You've got Main Street, Santa Monica for shopping. If you want more boutiques, Venice is really cool. You got great food there as well. So I would probably do that without building out your schedule too much. Because by the way, when it comes to planning travel, I have the rule of threes. Never plan more than 3 things in a day. So whether that is, let's say you're a foodie and you like to do stuff, then you do your lunch reservation, your dinner reservation, and then one activity. Or if it's more activity driven, you maybe plan 2 activities and like dinner. So it's a good way to give you a little bit of wiggle room and breathing room, but then give you structure to still get things done.
That sounds like an awesome trip. And we'll be in contact with you, Sarah, whenever we are ready to travel to California with the kids. All right, we're going to get to some recurring questions with you. And the first one we'll start off with is, what is your favorite book?
Ooh. Oh, Oh, this is, goodness gracious. My favorite book, Start With Why by Simon Sinek.
Love it. Love it. What role does your faith play in your life? I'm really interested hearing this from you, being so well-traveled and being all over the world. You've been exposed to a lot more than most.
So, this is interesting because I actually don't talk about this. My father is Muslim. My mom grew up Christian, but converted to Islam. So I guess technically I am Muslim by birth. I am not particularly religious, but I always grew up around it. Like I would go with my grandmother to church and this. And for me, it's always been about, how do I put it? This is a good question, by the way. It's about knowing like the core values. And so for me, it's like, I know that how I operate is like on those core values. Like I have that. So I didn't necessarily need it as external guidance for me. It was just kind of like, oh, cool. I get it. Yeah. That's like what I do anyway. So I think I would be more of a spiritual person, but certainly obviously, you know, respectful of everybody's beliefs, but I do find just religion in general, very fascinating. And I also went to Georgetown, which is a Catholic university. So I even studied religion, you know, quite a bit. So something I'm, you know, educated on, but I find myself a little bit more spiritual and the golden rule, I think, at the end of the day.
Well, for something you don't talk about often, I appreciate you answering that. Yeah. What was your first car?
It was a hand-me-down from my mother. It was an Audi Quattro 90, and it was stick shift, by the way. So I was driving stick right there at 16 in Atlanta.
Well, that preps you for all your international travel now, which catches so many people off guard when they get a rental over in Europe, and it's a stick shift. Exactly. Who's the most famous person in your phone?
Oh, the most famous person in my phone? What? Oh my gosh, who is the most famous person in my phone? I guess Anthony Melchiori from Hotel Impossible.
Nice.
But I used to have Ivanka Trump's number in my phone because she went to Georgetown when I went to Georgetown. So,
well, I wasn't going to make you call her, so you could have said it. I wouldn't have called you out on it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite restaurant?
Ooh. One of the restaurants that I love it's in Los Angeles. It's called AOC, and I love it because it's like a modern American, but just really delicious food. Has that like casual yet upscale environment, a cool patio, and just this cool neighborhood vibe.
Last one. What's next for Sarah Dandashi?
Oh, what is
next? I mean, career-wise, brand-wise, what's next for you? Travel-wise, what's next?
Yeah, so I have a book that I'm doing some finishing touches on. So it's a hospitality book. And so I have that slated to hopefully come out towards the end of January, February, something like that. And so that's really exciting, and a couple of different hotel partnerships. So I will probably be flying to Mexico myself in January to start filming again. And those are kind of the big things. The podcast is continuing, and then I'm actually going to be doing an entrepreneur show as well online too. So we're just kind of in the final stages of the branding of that. But you name it, there's going to be a lot of content continuing to come out.
Well, as much as you have going on, I can't thank you enough for your time in providing such valuable information at this time for so many of the listeners. Where can the listeners find more about you online?
Yeah, so best bet would be to go to my website, which is askaconcierge.tv, but you can also find me all over social media. So Instagram at askaconcierge, as well as Facebook, Twitter. But if you are more of the professional type and you want to connect on LinkedIn, I'm there too as Sarah Dandashi.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to What's Next with Eric Wood. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please rate it 5 stars and subscribe. That goes a long way for us with this podcast. Tune in a couple weeks for another new episode.